Many things going on at College Park today and this week, and we want you to make note of those things. You'll see the upcoming events listed there in your bulletin. Highlight a couple of those. Today is Children's Celebration. So after the second hymn, that's hymn number 515, we are going to head, all the kids are going to head right through that door to Smith Hall, and we will be there until the end of the service. And parents, you can pick your kids up there at the end of worship today. It's a special day in the life of Marissa Joyce. You may know her better as Marissa Morgan. We are excited about her ordination today at 3 o'clock. And we invite you to come in this sanctuary at 3 to celebrate a significant moment for Marissa. She has been serving at First Presbyterian for some time now, and she wanted to come home to be ordained, and we're very, very excited to be a part of that. Today at 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary, there will be a reception following that in Smith Hall. Let's see. Reminder to our youth parents, we are having a parents' meeting tonight after the youth worship service. Should get started around 6:45 with that meeting. So we hope that you're able to come to that. And finally, the youth and the children will be putting together the Operation Christmas Child boxes this Wednesday. So whatever donations that you're able to provide, we need them by this Wednesday evening. And we will be starting that around 6:30. So if you can get those donations here, you'll find a list of those items in the newsletter. And if you don't have a copy of that, you can pick one up at the Welcome Center desk, or just see the boxes that are outside Smith Hall. We'd love to have more items for us to box this coming Wednesday at 6:30. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. You'll see other things listed there on the back of the bulletin, opportunities for the week, many things that are happening, a regular schedule this afternoon. One of the things that's not in there, but should have been at 6 o'clock, we are having the regular youth worship service, youth online. But the other things that are happening this week, we want you to make note of those things. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Just a few moments ago, you gave us some information on the pew pad. We would like to give something back to you. So our ushers are coming down the aisles. As they come back down, just raise your hand if you're a guest, and they'll be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and the newsletter that tells you what's happening right now in our church. So we appreciate especially your presence this day, and we pray that God would just reveal himself in a mighty way, and that you would have the eyes and the ears to be able to receive the message that he has for us. Let us prepare for worship.
Let's pray. Giver of life and breath, creator of all who live, we come before you this morning in anticipation of meeting you in this place. Lord, help us to come with joyful hearts. Lord, help us to come with open hearts. Even now, remove the distractions that would keep us from communing with your Spirit this morning, that would keep us from hearing your voice. Lord, we praise you, for you are a great and mighty God, and you choose to dwell among us. Welcome to this place this morning, Lord. Move. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there are pew pads. There are pew Bibles. But there are pew Bibles there as well. We'll be reading from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Give you a few moments to find that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a few verses from the third chapter. We'll be starting in verse 10 and reading through verse 15. I'm reading out of the New International Version. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father, as we stop to consider your word for us this morning, we admit that we may not be completely in this room. Our minds may be distracted. Our hearts may be distraught. Some of us may be in a time of confusion and question. All of us have things in our lives that could pull us from you today. Many of those things are good things. Things that are good for us to think about and to spend our time doing. From our job to our families. Many of the things that would distract us are not necessarily good. Things that have been done to us. Things that have happened by accident, but yet we are still hurt. But Father, whether it's good or it's bad, whatever could pull us away from this service, it does not compare to you. For you are the perfect one, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who has given us purpose on this earth and through eternity. Father, so many times we give power to all the other things in our life. We let those other things control us when we know what the great thing is, that is you. We give our time and our attention to the bad stuff and the good stuff, but not the great stuff. All the while we wonder, why are we on this earth? What's our purpose? And we miss. Our purpose is to build you up in this earth. To live for you. To stake our claim as believers in Christ. So that everywhere we go, people see us reflecting your light. They see people who are more concerned about godly things than just merely good things. That's what you want from us. But how hard is it to do? How difficult it is. This day, what we ask of you, as we're considering the idea, if we only had 1 month to live, how would we change? What would we do differently? Today is another step, another challenge that you have in store for us. Let us be honest with ourselves, honest with you, about where we stand in our relationship with you. Let us not flinch. Let us not waver. Let the truth stand strong. Let it be a mirror into our souls. May your word reach in us and focus us on the great things. You, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
will be done with the troubles of the world. Gone home to live with God. Soon we will be done with the troubles of the world. The troubles of the world. The troubles of the world. Soon we will be done with the troubles of the world. Gone home to live with God. Troubles of the world, going home to live with God. Soon we'll be done with the troubles of the world, the troubles of the world, the troubles of the world. Soon we'll be done with the troubles of the world, going home to live with God.
No more,
no more,
we've been out of
waiting.
No more,
no more.
passage in the Psalms, Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist quotes the words of God, spoke and speaks. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. For just a minute, let's be still. Know that God is our Father in heaven, and praise Him in your heart and mine silently. So just be still for a minute. Bow your heads and be still. Father God, we thank you for this day, this Sabbath day. We thank you for this church building. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for your love and for your mercy upon us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation and the opportunity to spend eternity with you by the blood of your Son Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a day with no more suffering. There will be a day, no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. I feel you walking on your own. But there has never been a step where you walked out all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart. His joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a day with no more suffering. There will be a day, no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on. Sorrow that I face, oh, to touch the scars that rescued me from a life of shame and misery. Oh, this is why I say, there will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. There will be a day, no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. There will be a day, he'll wipe away the tears, he'll wipe away the tears, he'll wipe away the tears. There will be a day.
The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 12, "How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." This morning, Russell Vestal at 8:40 moved into the full presence of the Lord. For those of you that know him, know that he's going to have a great day.
And as Jeremy has sung, as the choir has sung, as our theme today has presented, this is not the end. This is a staging ground. This is a preparation time. And our goal is to be ready when we go. Our goal is to leave boldly. And that is the fourth principle in our 1 month to live challenge. Harold Kushner is an interesting writer. He's probably best known for his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. But he's written other things, and he said, I am convinced that it is not the fear of death, of our lives ending, that haunts our sleep so much as the fear that as far as the world is concerned, we might as well never have lived. Wow. So what he's saying is, we don't fear death, we fear an insignificant life. Leave boldly. What does that look like? Everyone desires to have a lasting imprint in life, don't we? We want to know that we've mattered. We want to know that our life has been worth something. We want to know that there's a legacy that will be remembered for, that we've made a difference, don't we? Do your heads this way. Don't you want to know that your life has counted for something? I really enjoy the beach. I really enjoy the beach. And I love to go there because it gives you a different perspective. It's kind of like going to the mountains. When you go to extremes, you begin to see God's creation as it is. And it really gives you a little perspective on life. But not just so much the surf rolling in, which I do enjoy listening to. It's very peaceful. It does set your mind at ease. It gives you a perspective. But I enjoyed over the years hearing my children laugh at the beach. You know, some of my favorite memories of the beach are those sandcastles that I built with my children. We would work hard for hours out in the beach, and Sandra would work hard keeping sunscreen on the kids so they didn't get burnt to a crisp. But, you know, no matter how hard we worked, no matter how high we put the walls, no matter how much drainage we had, the ditches that we thought would drain the water away so the tide wouldn't wash our sand, no matter all of that, at the end of the day, the tide would come in, and it would wash away the day's work. Really didn't matter. It always worked that way. With the one exception, the year when we went to Madeira Beach, Carson and I got smart. We built one up next to the motel where the tide couldn't touch it. We carried all this sand, wet sand up there, and built one up there. It lasted the week until the kiddies came and stomped all over it, which that's another story. That's confession time. But, and you know, those sand castles that we build in life, you know, I think moms have a better understanding maybe of what the sandcastle syndrome is. Because, I mean, moms get up, they do the dishes, and then the next meal, they're dirty again, right? You make up the beds in the morning, and then people sleep in them that night. Very inconvenient. You cook a meal, but then hours later, well, minutes later if you have a teenage boy, then they're hungry again. They want to eat again. You mop the sticky stuff off the floor, and by the end of the day, there's sticky stuff on the floor again. You pick up the kids, you take them to rehearsal, you take them to practices, and the next day, you just got to do it all over again. So moms feel like they're building sandcastles sometimes, and dads feel kind of the same way. It's a different set of reference, but we feel like maybe sometimes at the end of the day, nothing that we do really matters. But I want you to know the reality. That may be what we think, but the reality of the situation is it may feel like every day's efforts get washed away, but really what you're doing, when you're investing your time in relationships and people, you're building a legacy. You're building your legacy for all of eternity. Jeff read the passage of Scripture a little bit earlier. I want to read a portion of that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. I'll be reading verses 12 through 14. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. This passage to me says that every day of my life, I'm building a legacy. And every moment of every day, I get to choose what I want to use to build with. What kind of materials do I want to choose to build with? I can build with temporary materials. I can build with eternal materials. I personally would like to choose to use eternal materials. That's the stuff that's going to last. I'm going to give you three of them this morning. If you want to jot them down, please feel free to do so. The first material we're going to use are convictions. Convictions are those core values from God's Word that never change. Convictions are eternal. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of our God stands forever." Trends and styles, they come and go, but God's Word never changes. Pop theology, pop psychology is always changing, but God's Word never changes. The bestseller list, the bestseller book list, that may change, but God's Word never changes. God's Word is the truth. It's the truth today. It was the truth 1,000 years ago. It'll be the truth 1,000 years from now. So my convictions have to come from God's Word. My core values come from God's Word, and they don't change. They're rock solid. They need to be steady because the world's shaky, so our convictions have to be steady. But we have to live them out in order for them to be convictions. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. I want to read to you from the Message translation just because I really like how it translates this verse. It says, "But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who builds his house on the beach." So what he's saying is, don't just study the Bible, put it into practice in your life. You know, you really don't believe it in the true sense until you live it out. Let me give you an example. Let's say that our personnel committee comes to me and says, "Raymond, you've been here almost 20 years now. For your own good, you need to take 6 months off." I can dream, right? And we've got this book. It's called Play Golf Like Me. It's written by Arnold Palmer. And we want you to read that. And we want you to take all the time you need, and we'll pay for all the trips you want to go on to go play golf. Read that book. Learn how to play golf. And when you come back in 6 months, we want you to be a scratch golfer. And I go, "Hey, yeah, I'm digging it." All right? So I take my 6 months off, and I come back, and everybody's so excited. We go to the first golf tournament of the summer, and Raymond is obviously not a scratch golfer. Something has happened, and you're so disappointed. And you say, "Well, Raymond, didn't you read the book?" And I say, "Yeah, I read the book. It's my favorite book now. I love this book. I've read it 6 times. I read it through once every month. It's amazing. In fact, I highlighted all the parts that moved me so deeply. And there's some parts about Arnold's life that really made me cry. It really was amazing. And I memorized 2 chapters even, the one on putting and the one on wedge play. I memorized both of those. And I found out what the Greek word for swing is. I studied this book over and over and over again. It's my favorite book now. In fact, I can even quote parts of it to you, and I'll do that right now." You say, "No, that's all right, Raymond." "Well, what we want to know is, did you go to the golf course?" And I say, "Well, no, I didn't need to go there. I was too busy studying this book. It's a great book. Did I mention it's my favorite book?" And go, yeah. Did you go to the driving range at least?" No, I was studying the book. "It's my favorite." "Well, yeah, we heard that part. Did you at least go play putt-putt?" "No, I didn't have time to." And he would say, "So you didn't do anything that's in the book?" And I, no, I read the book. I just studied the book. You know, I love this book. It's so amazing. You go, "What a moron. What an absolute moron." But you see, that's what a lot of believers do with this book. You know, we go to Bible studies over and over again, and then we come in here week after week, and we hear sermons, but we don't apply God's Word to our life. We don't live it out. And it's not a conviction yet. I mean, we can know the Bible from cover to cover, and if you don't live it out, then you really don't believe it in the true sense of the word. I've heard that a belief is something you hold on to, but conviction is something that holds you. But the real meaning of the word belief, the Greek word, it involves life change. It involves action. It's an action word. You see, we need to have these convictions, these things that are founded and grounded in God's word, but yet we act upon them so that they permeate our lives and they become a part of who we are and everything that we do. So if you're going to build a lasting legacy, you have to build with convictions in your life. And parents, if you're going to build into your kids a lasting legacy, you've got to build something that goes deep. something that's grounded in God's word, something they'll carry with them. There's a second thing, convictions we need to build with. Second thing is character. You know, you've heard the statement, a reputation is what people think about you. Your character is what you really are. And there's a lot of truth there. You know, God cares about my character because when I die, that's who I am. That's what I take with me. There's a verse in Romans 8, verse 29. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Did you get that? From the outset, from the very beginning, God's plan is that your life and my life would be more like Jesus. That should be our goal. That we are shaping our lives with God's help and with God's principle. We are shaping our life so that our character begins to look more like Jesus. We've probably all heard the illustration. It's well spoken of that Michelangelo, when he was asked about how he sculpted the famous, beautiful statue of David, they asked him, well, how did you do it? And he said, well, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. It was really that simple. Now, whether that's historically accurate or not, I think the point is that God's doing the same thing with us. He's chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And when he does that, we shouldn't be surprised, you know, because we're working on our character. And he uses three tools to work on our character. The first tool that he uses to work on character is problems. Now, if you're a believer, problems have a purpose, okay? Sometimes God uses and allows little problems into our life, and those irritations, those things kind of rub the edge off our character just a little bit. Other times he uses really big problems. That's when you kind of think that he's got a jackhammer out and he's doing some major sculpting at that point. I mean, he's going pretty deep at that point. Okay, so whichever one there, you know, either it's small little pieces, it could be huge chunks that he's working on, but he's working on our character. But problems have the potential to make me more like Jesus Christ. It depends on how I respond to that. The second thing that he uses, the tool he uses to shape character, is pressures. You know, we know that patience is a byproduct of trials. And a lot of times we put pressure on ourselves. Other times other people put pressure on us. But we learn patience through pressure sometimes. And the most Christ-like people that I've ever known were people who were under tremendous pressure. But pressure always brings out the best or the worst in us. And the third tool God uses to shape character is people. God uses people as a tool to kind of chisel away the rough edges in our character. You know, every one of us have people in our lives that are hard to love. You know what I'm saying? They're just hard to love. It takes a major investment of time and energy. They irritate you. They get under your skin. They rub you the wrong way. And some of you have those people in your family. Notice I said some of you have those people in your family. I don't have those people. My mama didn't raise any fool, okay? But we all have people, and we think of them kind of as heavenly sandpaper. They're smoothing out those rough edges. Some of you are sitting beside them right now. Don't look beside them. I'm just kidding. God uses those three tools. He uses problems, pressures, and people because God wants to build our character so that we can build a lasting legacy. And then there's the third tool. That's eternal. The third material that's eternal lasts forever, and that is community. God's word lasts forever. Godly convictions, godly character lasts forever. And finally, it's God's people. God's people last forever. And that's why it's so important to be in relationships with other believers in small groups. As you're growing together, at least you're going in the right direction. You're not perfect. But at least you're working toward that goal together. And if you're too busy for small group Bible studies and fellowship, I would argue you're too busy. Because we need each other. We really do. You remember the sisters in the Bible, Mary and Martha? Y'all remember them choir? Help me here. Help me, yeah. They remember, the choir remembers Mary and Martha. They were friends of Jesus. One night they invited Jesus over for dinner, and Martha was kind of, she was in a frenzy. She was running around. She was trying to make sure everything was perfect. The Son of God is coming. So she was making sure everything was perfect. But Mary is sitting over there at Jesus' feet. Now, Martha was pretty ticked about the whole thing. And she was mad at Mary, but I think she was really mad at Jesus because she thought Jesus should have told Mary to get up and help your sister. And we have the story that's recorded in Luke chapter 10. It says, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. We could preach a sermon right there. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things, but there's only need of one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. Wow, son. He gently corrected Martha. It had to hurt a little bit, but you know what Martha was thinking. Look at what I'm doing. I'm working as hard as I can, and look what she's doing, and Lord, you're letting her get away with it. Your son, you're God's son. Why don't you tell her to do what she needs to do to help her sister? And Jesus very kindly and sweetly tells her, Martha, you're missing the boat. Your priorities are wrong. Martha, Mary is doing the things that's important. The thing that will last, the thing that's eternal. You're making the Christian life too complicated. It's really pretty simple. It's a relationship with me and a relationship with others. That's what he was trying to tell her. Sometimes we make it too complicated, don't we? We do. Sometimes we get so busy that we forget to spend time in the presence of God. So don't feel guilty about spending time with God and getting refreshed spiritually. Don't feel guilty about spending time in fellowship with other believers and getting refreshed and growing in the Lord. You need that so that you can be the kind of person God wants you to be, so that you can leave the legacy that you want to, so you can leave boldly. I remember as youth minister, we used to take the youth to Garden City for camp. And each year we had a group building exercise. We would do it in the afternoon. We'd have all the kids come out, and they would be there in their Bible study groups and their recreation groups. And we would have them build a sand sculpture. And the sand sculpture's purpose was to help them think about the theme of the camp and how it applied to them. And some of these were very abstract, but really cool. And the sculptures would be there. Now, we knew that the sculptures would not last. Probably not even the afternoon, as much traffic as there was up and down the beach. Kids come along and stomp on them and stuff, you know. But if they did survive the day, they certainly wouldn't survive the night. But what we wanted the teams to learn is that it's the process that's valuable. The product would be temporary, but the process is what teaches the things that are valuable. It's the relationships, it's the teamwork, it's the fellowship that's important. And that's kind of how it is for us as believers. All that we possess here, all the stuff, sandcastles. Our houses, they're sandcastles. They're going to be washed away. It's fine and good. God says enjoy. Just don't get too attached. Our cars, our other stuff, our golf clubs. God says don't get too attached because they're all sandcastles. What really matters is your relationship with God and your relationship with other believers, other people. There are only three things that are going to last. The materials we work with, character, convictions, community. God's word, godly character, and God's people. Those are the three things that are going to last. So how do we leave this lasting legacy? I want to remind you of a story that probably all of you have heard, but it's appropriate today because we're kind of going with the beach theme. And so I thought, let's bring this story back out. And it's about a man who, as he's traveling, he goes to this resort community at the beach. And one morning he gets up and he looks out on the beach, and as he's walking out there early in the morning, he sees all these starfish out there. But he noticed that they're clamoring, they're all over each other trying to get back in the water. And the realization comes to him, you know, with this tropical sun, it's not going to take long, and these starfish are going to be history. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, did you know that starfish don't have a brain? Well, that's maybe the reason they're all on the beach. But he thinks, you know, I can't get them all back into water. So, well, let's forget it. It's hopeless. So he just kept walking down the beach. Well, as he's walking down the beach, he sees this little boy standing there. He's scooping up these starfish and slinging them like frisbees back into the water. And he thinks to himself, that poor child, it's time for a hard life lesson. So he goes up to the little boy and says, son, what you're doing is very noble, but you need to understand you're not going to get it done. There's thousands of these things. You're not going to get it done. You're not really going to make a difference here. And the little boy looked at the starfish and looked at the man, picked up a starfish, slung it back into the water, and looked at the man and said, I just made all the difference for that one. Yeah. You see? It's kind of the way it is. We're investing ourselves, sometimes one starfish at a time. Helen Keller may have summed it up best. She said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. What can you do this week? If you knew you only had 30 days to live, what would you do differently to make a difference? To shape your legacy to the point where you feel like you can leave boldly. God's given all of us time, talents, treasures. My prayer is that we would be good stewards of those. Use those things, times, talents, treasures. Use those. I challenge you to use those to leave a lasting legacy. A legacy that will glorify God, not us. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the time that we've spent this morning. We pray that it would bear fruit in our own lives. That it wouldn't be just an academic exercise, but that it would be life-changing. Allow us to take your word, apply it to our lives, live it out, make a difference in the lives of other people and in our relationship with you. God, we love you. We trust you. Allow us to trust you more each day as we see you chiseling away the stuff, the things that don't belong there, anything that doesn't look like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know what it means to have a relationship with your Creator, if you're not a believer and you say, Raymond, I want to know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is your day. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ. I'll be here at the front. Come. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but man, that kind of got me this morning, and I'm not really investing myself like I should be. I'm fighting God on a lot of things. You can certainly pray where you are. Please do square that with him. You're welcome to come here to the front, to the altar, if you'd like to pray here. I'll be glad to speak with you, pray with you if that's what you would like. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk through that with you if you would like to be a part of College Park in official capacity, church membership. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. I want to ask if you would be seated for just a moment. Vicki, come on up. I want to introduce to you Vicki Sprinkle. She is coming this morning by requesting membership by transfer a letter from, as we say, a sister congregation here in the city. And if you will love and encourage her and support her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. I want to invite you to come by after the benediction and response and greet her and greet one another as we go from this place. Would you stand with me for our benediction? Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to fellowship together. We pray that it would change our life and our perspective on life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.